You're with SBS Radio.
Rosh Hashanah is actually our new year. Rosh meaning the head. It's the head of the year. Celebrate this day just like the head controls the body. This day we know is the source of blessings and life for the coming year. So really it is a day we reflect upon the past year. We commit to strengthening our relationship with Hashem, to acknowledge his kingship, so to speak, over the universe, to think about how we as his subjects can incorporate his presence into our lives in a more meaningful way in the coming year. It's the Yom HaDin, the Day of Judgment, because we know that on Rosh Hashanah Hashem judges us for our deeds over the past year and he determines our fate for the coming year. But we do feast and we have delicious food and we create a beautiful and joyous Yom Tov experience in our homes because we are confident that Hashem will judge us favorably. It is a joyous chag and we know Hashem will bless us with a happy, healthy and sweet new year to come.
Perhaps we can start talking about the food of Rosh Hashanah just to get the appetite of our listeners going so we'll understand what's this delicious food you're talking about and what's the significance of this food.
I'm an Ashkenazi, so I'll share with you the Ashkenazi customs. There are other Sephardi customs as well. Across the board, I think everybody has the apples in honey, where we dip apples in honey. We tend to eat the head of a fish, pomegranates. We have a lot of sweet foods, and the reason for all this is, first of all, the sweet foods symbolize that we're asking Hashem for a sweet new year. The head of a fish is because we ask Hashem that we should be the Rosh Lolozanav. We want to ask Hashem that we should be the head and not the tail in the coming year. And we eat pomegranates because pomegranates have many, many seeds. It's a concept that we turn to Hashem and we say to him, when you judge us, please remember that every Jew has hundreds and hundreds of mitzvot, just like the pomegranate is full of seeds. It's a lot of symbolism. We have sweet carrots. People call it tzimis. That's actually because in Yiddish, carrots is called meron, and that means that we ask, and which means to multiply. We ask Hashem to multiply our merits, and also they're sweet and give us a sweet new year again. So those are the basic traditional foods that we have on Rosh Hashanah, as well as the round challah, the sweet round challah, symbolizing the cycle of life. As we know, we're entering into a period of judgment, and we're conscious of the cycle of life that every person faces.
You mentioned period of judgment a few times. Can you please tell us the philosophy behind it? What does it mean, period of judgment? I just want to make it clarify for our listeners. For example, in the Greek tragedy, a man cannot change his fate. That's why the tragedy is there, because the gods, according to the Greek traditions, God decides your fate, and that is your fate. But according to the Jewish tradition, there is chazara b'tshuva. We can actually change our fate by prayers and repentance. Can you share this concept with our listeners?
Yes, that's a very interesting question. Definitely it's a fundamental principle in Judaism that we actually do have the ability to change our fate. And this is reflected in the famous prayer on Unatane Tokef, where we speak about the awesomeness of the day. We conclude this very powerful prayer by saying teshuvah, tefillah, and tzedakah can actually avert the evil decree. This is very real for us. We have a very strong belief that if we make commitment to change and to become better, and we utilize the gift of prayer, and we pray from our heart, and we give of ourselves, either monetarily or otherwise, in actions of kindness and charity, these actions actually have the ability to literally change the potential decree that may be hanging over our heads. So yes, it is a very, very strong Jewish belief that we do have the ability to change the fate that may be awaiting us, that may not be such a good outcome.
I like the custom of tashlich, because we throw away our things to running water.
It would be wonderful if it was that easy to throw away our sins. But yes, it is a very interesting traditional custom. And one of the ideas is that we symbolically throw away our sins. It is part of the consciousness of the cleansing process of Rosh Hashanah.
We are talking to Rebbe Tzenfruma Shapiro, and you are listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. Rebbe Tzenfruma Shapiro, you were mentioning the prayer Netane Tokef. There are so many beautiful praise and piyutim for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Maybe we'll start with Netane Tokef. You already mentioned it. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, it is actually a really beautiful and powerful prayer. It was written, or composed rather, by Rabbi Amnon of Mainz, the 10th century. He was a very great scholar and a very pious man, and he was actually tortured al Kiddush Hashem, sanctifying Hashem's name, as he was literally dying after terrible, terrible torture. He made up this particular prayer, and he recited this prayer. And tradition tells us that it was very, very difficult for people to understand what he was saying. He was literally on his last legs, practically his body was practically lifeless. And when the Chazan began to recite the Musaf prayer, he motioned to make an interval to give his own prayer, and he started saying this particular prayer, and with his last remaining strength he finished this prayer and he passed away.
And we're talking to Rebbetzin Fuma Shapira from Chabad North Shore, Sydney, and you're listening to SBS Radio broadcasting around Australia with Nitza Lowenstein. There is another beautiful prayer that we all sing, Avinu Malkeinu.
That is a very beautiful prayer, and we are told that the Avinu Malkeinu in the form that we say nowadays is an expansion of the shorter version composed by Rabbi Akiva, of which the Talmud tells us that there was a period of drought that Rabbi Eliezer stood before the congregation and said 24 prayers for rain without success, and no rain came. And then Rabbi Akiva stepped before the congregation and said, Avinu Malkeinu, and his prayer was immediately answered. Quite symbolic, because we relate to Hashem as Avinu, our Father who loves us, and Malkeinu, our King, whom we need to be obedient to. So it does remind us of our deep relationship with Hashem on many levels. We are hopeful that by saying this very powerful prayer, that we will elicit all the blessings that we ask for.
Rebbetzin Fuma Shapira, before we go, the shofar.
Of course, the shofar is the most important mitzvah of Rosh Hashanah. And this is biblical, and it's very, very important to hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It's an obligation for men, women, and children. The shofar is symbolic of a myriad of concepts. The coronation of Hashem as our king, the simple cry of the shofar, like the cry of a child, represents the simple cry of the Jewish soul yearning to come close to God and to change our ways. When we blow the shofar, we ask God to bear in mind all of our merits, like the merits of our ancestor, Abraham, who sacrificed the ram instead of his son, and the ram's horn symbolizes that. And also represents the Jews who received the Torah with the sound of a shofar. So it is a symbol of faith, of connection and reconnection to Hashem. Don't focus too much of where we went wrong. Rather focus on how we can constructively change and move forward. Shana Tova, and I welcome everybody who is listening to join our friendly, warm and easy to follow services. We have wonderful children's programs at Chabad North Shore, both nights and days of Rosh Hashanah. I encourage everybody to come hear the shofar at 10:30 Thursday and 10 o'clock in the morning on the Tuesday, the second day. And I wish everybody a Shana Tova and a happy, healthy and successful new year, and may Hashem answer all your prayers.
Thank you so much. Shana Tova. sbs.com.au